Game week 15 is still rolling on, but we're looking ahead to 16 and the crazy Christmas schedule coming up. We talk budget enablers and the best and Burmo replacements. Yes, welcome back to the FPL pod. We are still in the midst of game week 15, still two matches to go in the game week with Everton hosting Newcastle and West Ham visiting Tottenham later on. But we're going to have a look ahead to game week 16 and beyond. We've got Jules and Sam here. I'm Ian in for Kelly once more. And guys, how are the game weeks going? It's not been the highest scoring yet, but Sam, you've got something in your back pocket, haven't you?
Yeah, the Sun captaincy is suddenly feeling all right. Yesterday evening when I was watching those games with Haaland and Salah playing, I was thinking, have I made a horrible mistake here and let my Spurs bias get to my head? But don't know, now it feels all right to be having Sonny still to go with the captaincy and Livramento and Gordon as well. So three to come, one of them's the captain. I mean, surely they've got to get more than the 18 points that I've currently got.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? No question.
Yeah. It's just a disaster otherwise.
Jules, how are you getting on?
26 so far with three more to go, Areola, Son and Livramento. I did captain.
Oh, I've got Areola too.
So you can't even remember how many players?
Can't even remember, no. Yeah, yeah. Is that clearly bad, Jules?
A lot of focus on your game this week. I captain Salah, and we talked on the last show about who to captain, and there was all those options, Saka, Salah, Haaland, Son, potentially. I went for Salah. I think you and I, Ian, went for Salah. It was not the right call. He had a chance. He didn't take it. He came off early. At least Liverpool didn't concede, so there's that extra point for the clean sheet that made it 2 points more, really.
Are we classing that as a captain return or...?
Technically, it is a return, but it's a return that we're not... It is!
You're not counting that. The clean sheet point doesn't count.
It's a return. What are you talking? It's like...
Well, let's see what Song gets tonight, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, when he gets 2 points or 1 point after his yellow card for diving in the second half, he's surely not going to be that smug.
Slander, Jules.
Like, honestly... It can't be as bad as the last time I went to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, if you'll remember, against Chelsea, which was an absolute disaster.
Yeah, you're the jinx.
Oh, let's hope not.
Well, we'll find out later, won't we? Kelly's still got Son and Gordon to play as well. I'm on 37. I've left it a couple of minutes.
37?
It's all Trent. Basically, he survives on Trent's form lately. That's all.
Do you mean it's a good pick, Jules? Is that what you're saying?
It is. Well done. You know, when I saw him... Like in that corner, I was really hoping that the foul would be given against Virgil, so the goal would be disallowed,
just,
so you would not get that assist. Just because of you. No, it's a good pick. And even if yesterday was maybe not, he was very creative, but he was still not like the game that he had last weekend, for example. It was still very, very impressive, I thought. So yeah, well done. It's expensive, as we said, but so far he's getting you a lot of points. So well done.
Yeah, you said he's creative. He's been the most creative player so far this game week. 7 chances created, 12 crosses as well. Even at that price, Sam, I mean, this is early to be talking about sort of options, but Jules brought Trent up. So is he someone that anyone will be considering now, even at that price?
The thing is with Trent is that he's always got that in him, hasn't he, to be creative. And we're not seeing enough clean sheets across the board right now for any of our defensive assets. So you kind of are looking for the ones that are most likely to bring the attacking returns, because at that point, then you kind of feel like you might get something out of them. Now, Trent last night, I thought was excellent when it came to kind of creating opportunities. And if he continues to play like that over the next few weeks, then I think there'll be a lot of managers that start looking there, particularly with Tsimikas being benched in game week 15. That will put a lot of managers on edge with him, with the fact that Robertson will be back at some stage, and that will obviously impact him as well. So if managers are looking for a different way in to the Liverpool defence, then at least you do have that attacking threat with Trent.
Yeah, okay. One to keep an eye on then, maybe. In terms of the mini league, Sam, you're still clear of Jules, 4 points at the moment, but obviously that's Son captain to come later on, so we'll see how that one plays out. In our FPL pod league, there's been movement though. Mohamed 123 is down to fourth in the league, very competitive at the top. MK takes the top spot with their team Turn Up, who certainly did. Standout performers for them, Kelleher in goal, Luca Dean and Gabriel Jesus. That team sits 35 in the world. I'm so jealous of people like this.
Amazing.
And still has Son, Kudus and Branthwaite to play later on as well. Right, let's take a bit of a dive then into game week 15. It's not quite over yet. We've mentioned Trent's form this game week so far. But Jules, what else and who else stands out to you?
So I know in the end he only returned an assist, but I thought Bukayo Saka was exceptional in that Luton game away, where he was basically pretty much kicked the whole game by some very aggressive defending, which was the right thing to do from a Luton team that is obviously nowhere near as good as Arsenal are as a collective and individually. But I thought Saka, who's just come back in my team for this game week, was really impressive. And this Arsenal team that has that character, they don't give up. They scored late again, Declan Rice, a great ball from Odegaard. Odegaard, who seems to have picked up his form again. He's been a bit streaky at times, but if you look at his expected assist over the last two games, I think he's higher than his expected assist over the last five before that or something. So clearly Odegaard is back on form too. And we mentioned Gabriel Jesus for the leader of our pod mini league. We've talked about him a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I think, when he was coming back from injury after the international break. And we said, yes, his all-around game is so good and he brings a lot to the table. But when he's also on that kind of form in terms of finishing, but also creating, he's very good. And you know me and my second assist. I think the Saka second assist for the Gabriel Jesus goal is amazing. And I also think that the throw-in from Gabriel Jesus on the first goal, on the Martinelli goal, to Saka for then the cross to Martinelli.
Sorry, are you expecting bonus points for throw-ins now?
Okay, that's pushing a little bit. I'll give you that. I'm just saying that the awareness and the sharpness of Gabriel Jesus to play that ball very quickly made that goal happen, really. So, very impressed by Saka, Gabriel Jesus, even if in the end the win was a very narrow and late one for Arsenal.
Yeah, the way he pulled up his socks after he got fouled just before halftime was really impressive as well. I mean, maybe they can give out bonus points for that too to help your league position at the moment, Jules. Sam, Arsenal were a standout. I mean, Jules is talking up Gabriel Jesus there, but what of Chris Wood, Taiwo Awoniyi, and Cameron Archer got in common?
They all had, They all had more attempts on goal this season
in FPL than Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, but that's a lot because of injury.
Yeah. I mean, so was Awoniyi, to be fair, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's a really nice differential option, isn't he? And with Arsenal, you don't get that many differential options because managers will automatically flock to the likes of Saka, to Odegaard, or to the defenders, who, by the way, we should talk about in a minute, and the lack of clean sheets coming out of the double Arsenal defence that a lot of managers have got now, which is becoming a bit frustrating. But yeah, I mean, I think he's looking like a really, really good option as we're looking to change up maybe the way that we're invested in the front line and maybe move towards a front three rather than a front two over the coming weeks, particularly as there's some quite nice budget players in the midfield right now as well. So I quite like him as a differential.
Yeah, three shots for the game week as well. He's the only striker priced over 6.5 million to have more than one attempt in this game week so far. So he certainly stood out. Let's talk about the defence then, Sam. You brought it up. I mean, it's a huge disappointment for double Arsenal defence owners, the lack of clean sheets at the moment. But this is symptomatic of the entire league at the moment. It's so hard to predict these clean sheets, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely. And I think if we rewind 3 or 4 weeks, we were talking about how the Arsenal defence is looking really solid and now's a good opportunity to invest in them and to double up, you know, having Saliba and Gabriel, or having Zinchenko in there, or having Tomiyasu, who of course now got injured, was replaced by Ben White, who actually I thought was really good in the game against Luton. So now you're kind of looking at it going, well, I've only got the one Arsenal defender in Saliba, and I don't mind holding him, but I think if I had the double up, I'd be looking to move off it. Because as you say, Ian, there's just not been enough clean sheets. And when there's not been enough clean sheets, you don't want to be doubled up on a defence, because you know if the clean sheet goes, then you're losing 8 points rather than just the 4 that you would if you kind of spread the love across the rest of the Premier League side. So for me right now, if you're doubled up, particularly with a game against Aston Villa, an in-form Aston Villa coming up in game week 16, I'd be looking to move one of those Arsenal defenders on and invest in one of the other teams that have got nice fixtures that we'll talk about a bit later on.
Okay, yeah, we'll get into that, definitely. What else caught your eye, Jules? I mean, Manchester United's attacking play against Chelsea, they recorded an XG of 4.07, which so far this season is the second highest in any match from any team. Does that mean we want to invest in their attack? Because I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure either. I think this was always going to be an open game because this is the way Chelsea play. And if Chelsea are not really on it in terms of intensity, especially away from home, then you know you're going to have a lot of opportunities. And that's what United did. I think it was very predictable the way the game was going. And Chelsea still created some. I think their XG is 1.5 or 1.45 or something like that. So there were some chances for Chelsea. But I thought United played the game the way it should have played. I think it was a really good performance from them. And you're right, the fact that Scott McTominay scored 2 goals, I'm not sure if that means let's bring him in our team. But it was, I thought Garnacho did well. I thought Anthony did well to a certain extent. Bruno too. But I'm not sure I would pick one guy saying like, I really need him for, you know, for the games to come from a Manchester United point of view. They've got Bournemouth, Old Trafford coming up as well. So that's a good game, really, to be fair, before going away at Liverpool. And yet, I'm still not sure there's one outstanding asset to have from this United team right now. If you don't have much money, maybe a Garnacho would, because I think now he will keep that place as a starter. But still, in his final product and the final pass, the decision making is still not there, I think. So I would wait a little bit more. I think the other outstanding performance really was Aston Villa. And I think from Leon Bailey to even Watkins to McGinn to all those midfielders. And I know in the end, the defense and Bailey were the ones returning. But I thought collectively, there was an incredible performance. And I know you were there, Ian. You must have been even more impressed than us watching on television.
They were absolutely incredible. I haven't seen Manchester City outplayed like that for a very long time. I mean, they only had 2 shots at goal, City. Their final attempt at goal in the match came in the 11th minute. It was the lowest amount of shots that a Pep Guardiola team had ever had in any league in his management career. Villa were amazing. They've got Arsenal at the weekend, so it's still tough. But I mean, I think I talked about it on the last podcast. Don't get rid of your Villa players was pretty much the message. But Sam, no Matty Cash in the starting lineup, no Moussa Diaby either. So despite Villa's great form, despite that brilliant performance against Manchester City, are they 2 sales for you?
Yeah, they were my 2 transfers out this week. So actually,
that worked quite well.
Yeah, I know. That felt quite good, actually, when I saw that Villa team sheet. Yeah, and I think they do, particularly Matt Cash. For me, he's not really worth it, given that actually there's some really good performances coming from some of the other defenders, like Lucas Digne is playing incredibly well at the moment. Pau Torres in the middle as well is doing a really, really decent job there. And I think over the festive period, you know, we as FPL managers, we really like to invest in the wing backs because they're more likely to get the attacking returns. They move up and down the pitch with such speed and that means they're more likely to get bonus points as well if they get any attacking returns, because the way that the bonus point system works for passes completed and all of that kind of stuff, you get those additional points that we've talked about before. But over the festive period where rotation can be rife, sometimes it's actually a good idea to just go with the centre backs because they're less likely to be rotated than you see with the wing backs often. And of course, they often have, as we saw from Virgil van Dijk this week, the aerial threat from set pieces. So Pau Torres is one that I think if you are on Matt Cash right now, you could look at a sideways move across. Now, it's Arsenal up next, and I don't think there's a clean sheet there for Aston Villa in that one. But after that, I think Pau Torres looks like a really nice option for Christmas.
Brian and Bermo as well, Jules. That's the dilemma now for managers, isn't it? Yeah. With him picking up his injury. He got his penalty, he got his return, but it sounds like he's going to have to be replaced in our FPL teams, particularly with the blank coming up as well for Brentford. Mm. What are your thoughts there?
Yes, I mean, one, when you saw the ankle twisting, that didn't look good. And then the fact that he had to be carried off almost, like could hardly walk himself, didn't look good at all so early in the game too. So we'll have to see what Thomas Frank said and how long the injury is, really. If it's a short one with the blank game week for Brentford in game week 18, then maybe you can just bench him. That would be 2 games, something like that, maybe, or 3 match days. It's doable, I guess. But I think if you can, if you have a free transfer or even taking -4 to move him up, because also we said for that price, you've got a lot of really good options. So it's not even like if you don't think there's anybody worth just replacing him and you would rather keep him on your bench. I think you can easily replace him and then bring him back at that price. So unfortunately, I think he would be one of the highest players being sold this week.
Bit of a dilemma, Sam, for managers who've owned Mbeumo for a while, because obviously he's risen in price a lot. But who would the best replacements be in your mind?
I mean, I think there's a lot. I think Huang, after his performance again this week, again, kind of springs to mind. He's going to save you a little bit of money as well. But you do have to have a plan in place, because obviously we've got the Asian Cup coming up in January. So those players will leave on the for game week 21. So if you do want to invest in him, then just know that whilst you don't have that problem for game week 18, when Brentford blank, you will then have a problem come January. And if you're heavily invested in players that are also off to AFCON, then you might give yourself a bit of a headache come January. Matoma's the same. If you fancied a bit of a punt on him, obviously he'll be going off to the Asian Cup as well. Then you've got players like, and West Ham's performance tonight, I think, will be really telling, because players like Jarrod Bowen or Kudus, both of them looking like really nice options right now. And moving forward, I do quite like the idea of reinvesting back in West Ham. So maybe moving Mbeumo on to one of them might be good, depending upon their performances on Thursday evening. And then, of course, there's Cole Palmer as well, who gets another attack in return in game week 15. He's gone up, so he's going to cost you 5.3 now, but he's still relatively cheap in the game. And I think the Chelsea fixtures are so nice. Amazing, it's at the top of the ticker. Yeah, so penalties, good fixtures, opportunity, I think, for Chelsea, and an opportunity for us to save some money by taking Mbeumo down.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree with Sam on all those potential replacements. It's a shame for Mbeumo because he's been a bit streaky, but he's also been really good at times, and especially being on penalties for Brentford. But yes, I don't think keeping him is the right thing to do.
No, okay. One last thing to round up then before we move it on is Manchester City, because we're all very well invested in their assets. I mean, probably everyone owns Erling Haaland. Sorry about that. Since I brought him in, it's not gone brilliant for him, has it? But obviously there's other players like Julian Alvarez who came off early. I mean, Phil Foden came off early. If you still own him, it's another match without a clean sheet for City, Sam, as well. I mean, are we concerned if we're well invested in City with the blank coming as well, or with the games that they've got either side of that? Is it not anything to worry about?
It's a tough one because it's Luton next. Yeah. So everything says you don't do anything. You just hold the players that you have because it's a really nice fixture coming up at the weekend. But then you also need to start thinking ahead to that blank in game week 18. And also, you know, I think with the midfielders, it's somewhat different. Like if I had Foden, I wouldn't be selling him ahead of the game against Luton. But with Alvarez, we're not seeing that consistency from him anymore in the same way that we were earlier on. And as Jules said last week, you know, it's not about his performances necessarily, because he's still performing really well and he's doing all the right things that 99% of the time makes Man City tick. Not so much against Aston Villa, granted, but that was more to do with how well Villa played than it was to do with Man City. I think they just were excellent. So yeah, I think with Alvarez, if you want to get off now, then I sort of understand it. But I'm also looking at the players that you might go to, the Darwins, and thinking, well, you're not performing that brilliantly either. So given the fixture against Luton, I'd probably just not panic on Manchester City, hold them for this week, and then maybe look to make the changes ahead of game week 17, or maybe even just going into the blank in game week 18.
Yeah, you expect a reaction from City as well, don't you, Jules? Because the standards that they've set over the last few years in the Premier League have been absolutely incredible, and they will be hurting those players because their pride will be truly dented. I mean, they've gone four matches in the Premier League without a win, three draws, and then that defeat at Aston Villa. Pep Guardiola has only ever done that once before in English football, and that was during his first season, where Manchester City were below the standard that they've set in the season since. Luton might get it at the weekend, might they?
Yeah, I think so. We've seen that before as well with City. I think April 2017 was the last time, Ian, you mentioned four games without a win in a row for City. So it just never happens, and there will be a point where everything is going to click again, or they're going to get better and they're going to smash Luton probably this weekend. It's interesting because they obviously have a lot of players out. There was no Doku again. There was no Grealish suspended, no Rodri suspended. We know what happens when Rodri is not there. City lose. He's back obviously for this game. I would think that even against Luton without Rodri, they probably would have got something out of the game. But yeah, I think if you Luton, this is the worst result that you could have watched last night, that City defeat. And for City, even Pep, to you, said it last night. He said straight away, like, now the focus is on Luton already. So you know there will be that. And they're so competitive that they would not enjoy this bad run of form right now. So I think if you've got any City asset, defensive, offensive asset, anything, just keep them, because I think Saturday could be a really good game in terms of returning City assets returning for us.
Yeah, I agree. Right, well, that's led us in nicely to game week 16 by sort of semi-previewing Luton against Manchester City. There's two matches, really, Sam, that are going to be a bit of a headache for us this weekend, because five of the top 10 most owned players are playing in games between Villa and Arsenal at Villa Park and Spurs and Newcastle at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So what do we do about that? Because I hate this when you have them going, especially when you have like a defender versus a striker, and it just seems like, well, I know half of these players are unlikely to return one way or another.
Yeah, and it feels like that, doesn't it? Because like we were talking about earlier, a lot of us have got an Arsenal defender, and then there's Watkins, who's going to, you know, hopefully, because you kind of want your attackers to score, but then you think, well, particularly if you're doubled up on the Arsenal defence, that's problematic because he's going to then take the clean sheet away. It's the same with Spurs. If you've got Son and you've also got a Trippier or a Livramento or a Lascelles, like having these players come up against each other is something that we really don't want in FPL. As managers, we like to, or I do anyway, like to plan my teams so that as much as possible, I'm not having players that are coming up against each other. And this weekend, that's going to be really hard because, you know, I've got Arsenal defenders and Villa attackers. I've got Spurs attackers and Newcastle defenders. And I would like to invest in the Spurs defence after this, but part of the reason I didn't do that ahead of midweek fixtures was because I knew that Spurs were going to have Newcastle and I didn't want to give myself further headaches this weekend.
Get even deeper into it.
Exactly, yeah, because Pedro Porro otherwise probably would have been my transfer in, and I thought, I just can't get further invested in the chaos that is going to be game week 16. Generally, my rule is just play the attackers and try to bench the defenders. But a lot of people might have benching headaches this weekend if you've got injuries, like, if, you know, Mbeumo going off. If you've only got one free transfer and you've got multiple problems to deal with, you might find that you don't have the ability to do that. In which case, then you play the most attacking defenders that you have. Because at that point, at least if the clean sheet goes, you've got some potential for attacking returns. But the teams that we're talking about here, they are some of the most reliable teams that we've had in terms of assets in FPL this season. So just because they are playing each other shouldn't necessarily mean that we kind of go, right, well, I'm going to play none of you and you're going to sit on the bench. So, I think we just kind of have to go with it and accept that, yes, some might take away the Trippier clean sheet, but Tripp is equally likely to get some attacking returns. So I'm going to just roll with it through this period, because you know that coming out of the back of this weekend, then you're into a nicer set of fixtures for them all.
Yeah, and I guess players like Trippier and Porro, who you mentioned, do get attacking returns. You know, that's why they'd be in your team, wouldn't they? As well as obviously the benefit of getting clean sheets. So it's almost like playing two attackers against each other with those two because of how creative they are. I suppose the shining light here, Jules, is that I just said it a moment ago, it's five of the top 10 most owned players. So everyone's in the same boat, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone would have the same headache. Like, I appreciate all the planning that Sam does, which is not me, as you know. So I'm in a mess, really, because there's not much I can do. So I'm going to play them all and hope for the best. That's all I can say. That's all I can do. I'm sure there's a lot of managers who would do the same, really.
Hope for the best.
Saliba scores.
Hope
for the best. You know, Saliba can score a header on a corner. Yeah. You know, Watkins could score. Basically, I want everybody to score, basically. Even Livramento, who I don't think he's ever scored in his life. So we'll see. We'll see. You know what? It's just one of those game weeks where things like that happen. We've got usually, what, one or two each season? So you just take it. And I think, again, you pray for the best.
Yeah, we'll talk about our transfers later on in the pod like we always do. But in terms of the best picks for game week 16, Sam, and we're beginning to look beyond that as well now, aren't we? Because of being in the midst of this crazy period in FPL. Who should managers have their eye on ahead of this game week?
I mean, I've said Hwang already twice, I think, on this pod, but
that's
genuinely...
That's four times now, then.
Is that four?
Did you say his name twice or not?
So.
Three times, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like all I've said is Hwang so far, but honestly...
Jules, do you want to say his name just to join in the game? There we go.
Yeah, you can join in as well. There you go.
It was my differential, I think, in game week 5 or 6.
But it didn't return then, though, did he? Or did he?
He did. He had an assist,
we
please.
Did.
Thank you, Van. Okay.
It was my differential this game week, and he got a double-digit return.
There
but we'll
go.
Talk about differential
I know, that's
later.
That's why I wanted to go first, you know.
And he's coming up against Forest, who've conceded 12 goals in the last four matches. So, you know, I think he's like a really, really nice option for this week. I actually think that there's a couple of differentials. Like, George, you talked about Garnacho earlier. I think he's a really nice option for this week as well. 13 attempts on goal in the last four. Only Trossard has had more across the midfielders. Like, got a nice fixture on paper against Bournemouth. Like, there's some decent picks in there. And then, of course, there's the Man City guys against Luton. They'd be the kind of ones I'd be targeting.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And also, Brentford travelled to Sheffield United and no Mbeumo. That means Wissa or Mopé. I mean, Wissa was on the bench. He will certainly come in. You'd have a front two of Mopé and Wissa. And I think those two, Wissa especially, who had been on good form, and then it was a bit more difficult for him. But you would think that away at Sheffield United, you have to fancy Brentford. And in that case, I think Wissa could be a clever move.
Okay. Well, I said it was getting crazy a moment ago, and it has got crazy already. I mean, there's 5 days between the last match of game week 16 and the first game of game week 17, four between 17 and 18, one between 18 and 19, one between 19 and 20, three between 20 and 21. How much do we need to plan for this, Sam? And who are your essential players for this period as well? Who should be the sort of pillars of our teams?
I mean, you do have to plan.
Lucky Jules.
Yeah, Jules, this is the period of the season where Jules struggles the most because there's no planning.
You hope for the best, Sam. I think we've clarified that. Yeah.
You hoping for the best over Christmas.
Yeah.
You can't, because it's very easy to miss deadlines for a start over the Christmas period, because you get to that period of time where you kind of go, what even day of the week is it now? Like, when's there a deadline? When's there not? Because there feels like there's matches like literally every day over the festive period. So you do have to have some kind of plan in place that helps you to think about who you might be targeting at any one point. And also the mass rotation that we see means that you need to make sure that the bench has players on it that you can rely on to actually come on and get you some points, even if it's just 1 point or 2 points. That's better than no points. Like we would have seen last night, like with Tsimikas not coming on at all. It's a naught pointer. If you don't have a bench at all, if you've got all flags on your bench, that's really problematic over Christmas. And we will see more of that as the fixtures come quickly over the festive period. So yes, we do need to have a plan for it. In terms of essential picks, I don't actually think there's a huge amount of them right now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I think there's so many nice options, but I don't think there's that many that I would say they are absolutely essential. And the ones that I would say are absolutely essential are the ones that are expensive. So the Salahs, the Sakas, the Sons. In fact, they all begin with S as well, apparently. I think they are borderline essential at the moment. I don't think you would really want to go without those guys.
You've not mentioned Erling Haaland.
Haaland's an interesting one, isn't he? Because is he essential when there's a blank game week?
Ooh.
I think he's essential for Luton.
Tell him then.
So, but Jules, if you've got your wild card in play, I would sell him ahead of game week 18. I wouldn't sell him ahead of Luton.
Why are you advising this after I've just brought him in and you've been taking the mick out of me for weeks for not having him
in? You haven't got one. Because you can't miss these nice fixtures that he's had, and you needed him at that point because there was really nice fixtures. Like, if you didn't have Haaland against Luton this weekend, you would be
worried.
You'd need a very, very big sofa to hide behind. You'd have to go to a furniture shop, wouldn't you? Just sit in there, hide. Yeah, I don't think you can go without him this weekend. But is he essential over Christmas? Yes, he is. After the blank, I would put him in the essential category again. But there is a blank. So you might want to manage your team slightly differently around game week 18. That's all I'm saying. Otherwise, I think he is essential. But I don't think there's any... I was thinking about essential defenders. I don't know if there's any that I would classify as essential right now. Even Trippier and Trent, I don't think I'd classify as essential right now.
No, because they're difficult to get, aren't they? Yeah. Even Trippier, who's, you know, Trent's even more expensive than him, that they're both very difficult players to get in because of the way that our teams are set up, especially if you own, you know, a number of the players that you listed before who are all very expensive and take up a lot of our budget. Jules, who do you see as essential? Are there any defenders in your mind, contrary to what Sam just said?
Yeah, I think Trent or Trippier, really.
Really?
If you were building your team now. No, because I don't have the money for it. But if I was building my team now, they would be in the team. They're in such great form. I would love to have both, but then you have to obviously compromise somewhere else. But one of them for sure. And I think Trent has been in such a great form. And I think there's no reason why that would stop. And this Liverpool team, maybe they're defensively not as strong as we would like, although they're the best defense in the league. And they've already played, Chelsea away. They've played City away. They've played Spurs away. And despite all those away games, the toughest fixtures in the whole season, they are the best defense in the league. So, you know, I think Trent, really, if you were building your team now, if I was building my team now, would be an essential. It would be one of the premiums that I would go for, and I would sacrifice somebody else because I think he's in that kind of form. And there's no reason, really, even if they have United then and then Arsenal, so the fixtures are going to be tough. But still, I think he's in such a great form that he's almost indispensable for your team.
Sam, your eyebrows were telling the story of what you thought of what Jules just said.
Because she knows people, I'm right. She knows I'm right. She was listening to me and she went like, yeah, actually, he talks a lot of sense again.
That's not what I was thinking.
Oh, that's not true.
In my head, I was thinking, all right, Crystal Palace at the weekend, but it's the 12:30 kickoff. And that's always bonkers for Liverpool. Like the 12:30 games, they never seem to be that brilliant.
Don't mention it to Jurgen Klopp.
I know, don't tell Jurgen Klopp. And then after that, Manchester United and Arsenal, don't think there's clean sheets in either of those. Burnley, okay, should be a clean sheet there. Newcastle, and then Bournemouth, who are actually really good at the moment. Like they've really, really yeah. improved. Like, so,
the eyebrows
you know,
were telling the story again there, yeah.
I know, like I'm surprised that Bournemouth have suddenly become the team that I'm thinking Dominic Solanke and co. Hello. Look all right. I know. So I'm looking at those fixtures for Liverpool. And that's the thing, isn't it? When I'm talking about essential players, I'm looking at the fixture run and I'm thinking, is there a guarantee of returns? Now, I get everything Jules is saying about the potential for attacking returns. I do. However, I also think that some of these other expensive assets, the ones that I listed, the Sakas, the Salahs, the Sons, the potential for them to return is greater, I think, in terms of their attacking threat than it is for Trent. So whilst I would like, and I'm not saying at all that I don't think that Trent is a good pick, and I'm not saying I don't think the Trippier is a good pick. If I could get them in, I would. But I just don't think you can count them as essential when the fixtures aren't great. I mean, Newcastle sit third bottom on the fixture ticker, and they're only third bottom because Man City are below them because there's a blank. Otherwise they'd be second bottom with only Crystal Palace below them. So when you look at those fixtures, Spurs at the weekend, Fulham, Luton, Nottingham Forest, nice fixtures. So you would think there should be three clean sheets in there for Trippier, but then after that, Liverpool and Man City, difficult. So I don't think you can put a defender in the essential category unless we are really sure that there's clean sheets, because you could otherwise just go with a Livramento or a Virgil van Dijk, who could maybe cover out that Liverpool or Newcastle clean sheet for much, much, much less money.
Yeah, I suppose it's just the fact that when the fixtures are difficult, the more expensive assets have got more chance of returning, you know, from an attacking perspective because they've been so good. But the issue we have with all these expensive players, we need some budget enablers, don't we, for Christmas to try and be able to afford this. So let's play budget enablers for Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe the producer can put a little bit of music on the bed here.
A jingle?
A nice little jingle or a little bed of hold music or
Christmas
something
music.
Like that. Mm. So what we're going to do is each of us are going to pick a goalkeeper under 4.5 million, a defender under 4.7 million, a midfielder under 6.5 million, and a forward under 7 million. Just to try and help you guys out there who are trying to afford these more expensive players as we head to the festive period. So here we go. Sam, a goalkeeper under 4.5. Who's your choice?
Now, I know that I set the price limits here.
When she starts like this, it's going to be a long one. Go on.
No, it's not. No, because I think if you really do only have 4.5, then going for Dubravka and Areola as a rotating pair is the right way to do it. If you've got 4.6...
Who set these prices? Sorry.
Hang on.
I did. I know, George.
Are we changing the rules?
Well, I'm just saying, if you find that you've got an extra 0.1... Robert Sanchez looks really good for Chelsea with those fixtures coming up. But otherwise, if you don't have the extra 0.1 and we're sticking by the rules, get Dubravka and Areola as a rotating pair.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dubravka, even on his own, to be honest, is a very good pick at the moment. Jules, what do you think?
I mean, if I've got another 1.5 million, I go for Alisson.
No, but you're taking the mick now because I only had 0.1.
No, I'm just saying if I've got... another 0.6, I go for Vicario.
Not a budget enabler then.
Cut the music.
On my list.
Jules, you need to play by the rules, mate. You need to play by the rules.
So does Sam then. She can't keep adding like 0.1, 0.2 there and there. No, my pick was always going to be Areola anyway. Paris born and bred legend. So here we go.
Okay. Play the music again. A defender under 4.7 million. Jules, you can go first.
Pau Torres, I picked. Sam talked about him before. He was amazing on Wednesday night against City. He's been great. He's good on set pieces. He could have had another goal against City as well, on top of the one he had at Spurs, for example. So very low owned, cheap, very reliable, plays every single game. So there's no rotation like we can see maybe with Diego Carlos or Konsa or Cash, all of that. So for me, Pau Torres is an outstanding pick.
Sam?
Yeah, I had him on my list as well. I think he's a really good pick. I also had Ait Nouri, who is due back from injury this weekend, and Wolves' fixtures are nice. And before he got injured, he was posting some really, really nice underlying stats, particularly from attacking perspective. So could be a decent option heading into that period. Like we were talking about, if the clean sheet doesn't stick, you get that potential for some attacking returns. And then, of course, I couldn't help but put Charlie Taylor on the list because Burnley's sitting quite high on the fixture ticker and the man's a legend.
He only needs 15 seconds to get his first attacking of the game. Levi Colwill, I've got my eye on as well, 4.5 million at Chelsea with their fixtures coming up. He's the top scoring Chelsea defender so far. Midfielders under 6.5. I can go first if that's all right. Anthony Gordon, 6 million. I just think he's really good. I know there's a yellow flag on him at the moment. We'll see if he plays later on. I'm sure he will. Newcastle's games are a bit mixed, like we've been talking about, but I just think he's a great pick at the moment. Sam, what do you think?
Yeah, I like him. Obviously, he's been doing so well in my team. The player I don't have at the moment that I really want is Cole Palmer because of those Chelsea fixtures and the way that they look. So I think at 5.3, he remains one of the best budget players in the game. And I wanted to pick a West Ham player and I really struggled to find one that fitted under the budget because even Kudus
who
is now...
Who set these budgets, honestly?
I know, I did. Yeah. It's stupid. I should have just put them up by 0.1.
Or two. Yeah.
No, but he's only 0.1 as well. But I'd struggled to find somebody that was under. So I think Cole Palmer and Anthony Gordon, I would agree with you on that
Jules?
One. I wrote Mitoma, so he must still be under the...
he's 6.5.
In the rules that Sam set for the others, not for herself. So... Mitoma, I know there's the Asian Cup coming, but he's picking his form back again. We saw that in the win on Wednesday night where I thought he was really sharp. He looked sharp, got an assist too. So Mitoma is still one that we kind of forgot a little bit because he was so amazing last season and at the start of the season. But I think he's still a very good asset potentially.
Jules, you can go first on the last one. 7 million and under, a forward for our teams, please.
I would go for Zeki Amdouni. There's a few other options, of course, but we talked about him on the last show. Mm-hmm. He's really good. He scored as well at the weekend against Sheffield United in that route that they gave them. You have to be prepared that he's not always going to return because I think he still lacks consistency. He's still a young player that is a bit raw, but I think he's got really, really great potential.
Sam?
I had him on my list as well. Also had Wissa on there in the absence of Mbeumo. Yeah. I think he'll be more important. And if you are playing it purely on fixtures and you want to take a punt, then I put Nico Jackson, but I just don't really trust him. And that's the issue. But if you want to take a punt over Christmas and play the fixtures, then maybe Jackson's not terrible.
Yeah, I like Dominic Solanke still as well, 6.5 million. They're away at Old Trafford next, but in 17 it's Luton at home, in 18 it's Forest away, in 19 it's Fulham at home. So the fixtures are still looking all right for them as well. So there you go. There's your budget enablers for the Christmas period. Well, I enjoyed that anyway. Right, differentials of the week. This game doesn't quite work when your differentials are still yet to play in the game week. So we'll gloss over it a little bit. But Jules, you've got Kudus, who obviously plays tonight against Kulusevski, who is your pick, Sam. But Hwang's returned for me, 10 points, a goal, a clean sheet and 2 bonus points. So that's the standard, I guess, for you two to beat for this game
You're
week.
You're suddenly very good at this game, Ian.
I know.
Like Trent last week, Hwang this week.
Yeah, let's see if it continues. Who are we going for game week 16? Shall I go first then, based on that?
Go on then.
Go on.
Alejandro Garnacho is my choice. 4.7 million. So we didn't mention him a moment ago when we were talking about cheap enablers, but I think he's a great one. I mean, Marcus Rashford had been playing on the right wing, but he wasn't in the team last night. And that just gives me more confidence that Garnacho is going to get a proper run on the left wing spot for United. 2.1% owned, an assist against Chelsea, goals recently against Galatasaray and Everton. His combined XGI was 1.03 against Chelsea. United had the most shots so far this game week, the most chances created. And there was a good stat before about how many shots Garnacho had had, Sam, that you mentioned as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was it again?
Yeah, 13 attempts on goal in the last 4 weeks. Only Trossard has had more amongst the midfielders.
Yeah, so that's promising, isn't it? Bournemouth at home this weekend. Garnacho's my differential. Jules, what are you thinking?
Leon Bailey for me this week. I mean,
against Arsenal.
Against Arsenal.
Yeah, but look what he did against City at Villa Park. Why are you so surprised?
He went off injured as well.
You love Arsenal.
They've conceded 3 goals against Luton.
He went off injured as well, Jules.
Yeah, but he was. I think he would play. I don't think it was a very serious injury.
It'd be quite something if you got a blank out of a differential, wouldn't it, by the way? A 0 pointer.
No, but if he's injured, you give me a pass because, you know...
No. Right, no.
Yeah, you do.
Entire league and you pick a player who might be injured.
I picked him and we don't know yet what the injury is. So I think it's still fair. It's still okay to go with Leon Bailey. I can pick another one.
If he's out, we're going to laugh.
Oh, I've got to chuckle.
But how am I supposed to know now if he's going to be out or not?
I won't be able to see through the tears.
Exactly. So you can't give it. I've got faith in
him. Hang on. You've had this before where you've picked a differential that then got injured and didn't play. Because you had Grealish that week. Yeah. A fair few weeks ago, you picked Grealish, right? And then he missed out altogether.
I haven't got the data but I can believe that happened.
I don't know if Leon Bailey's going to play or not. But if he plays, he's your differential of the week, for sure.
Okay.
1.1% owned. I just think, you know, when we talk about form and fixture and all that.
Forms,
kind of
no doubt. Yeah. Two straight returns for the first time ever in FPL for Bailey.
I know. And you know, sometimes his decision-making is still a little bit... dodgy, I call it, because I think even that shot yesterday on the goal, I'm not really sure that's the right thing to do anyway, but he worked, he scored. But even despite that, I think he's in that kind of form, he's an amazing player to have because he's a bit maverick. You just never know what he's going to do. He's so unpredictable. Us watching, I think his teammates and also the opposition. So I go Bailey. Hopefully he plays and I think he would do really well against Arsenal.
Who are you going for, Sam?
So actually, I had Garnacho as my first choice written down as well. I do think he's... No, it's fine. We seem to be doing this a lot at the moment, don't we, picking the same players? But I do think he's a really nice pick this week. So instead, I'm going to go for Cunha at Wolves. He's had 4 attacking returns in the last 4 game weeks. And I think, you know, when you're looking at Wolves, they're playing incredibly well at the minute. And we've all been focused on Hwang, and rightly so, because he's been performing. But with Cunha, we have the opportunity to go for somebody a little bit different. I mean, he's only owned by 3.3% of the game, so a much nicer differential. Even with Hwang, though, he's still only owned by 8.5% of the game, so still counts as a differential in the game week. He's coming up against Nottingham Forest side, who are conceding a lot of goals, and we talked about that earlier on, you know, and they conceded 5 in midweek. So if they can't keep their back line secure, then I would expect some attacking returns from him this week. So he'll be my differential this time.
Okay, we better rattle through these next couple of sections quickly because we have been talking a lot so far, which has been great. I've enjoyed the chat, but let's set a bit of pace on this. What are we thinking captains-wise, Jules, for game week 16?
Haaland against Luton. All the anger from those 4 games without a win will be expressed against Luton. So I go for Haaland.
I agree. Sam?
Yeah, I'm on Haaland too this week. Feels a bit boring, doesn't it? But sometimes there's weeks to go differentials and sometimes there's weeks where you should just go with Haaland because he's got the nicest fixture.
Any temptation with anyone else, Sam? I mean, Salah against Crystal Palace, who are struggling for form at the moment. Is that not tempting?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's an option. I just think that sometimes you overthink the captaincy decision. And in midweek this time around, there were loads of options. You know, you could have gone Saka against Luton. You could have gone for Haaland against Villa. You could have gone for Salah. You could have gone for Sun. You know, there were potentials to go everywhere. Whereas this weekend, when you look at the fixtures, yes, Salah's got a nice fixture against Crystal Palace and he could do well. But Haaland's playing Luton and it just doesn't seem like the right week to go against that.
Fair enough. Right, let's talk transfers. I'll go first. I'm struggling because the game week's not finished yet. It's quite difficult to know exactly what to do in fairness with those 2 matches later. But I think Matty Cash, maybe I should be moving on now, really. But I've talked before about maybe swapping Trent Alexander-Arnold to Kieran Trippier after game week 16, which then frees up more budget to be able to upgrade Matty Cash. I've had him since the start as well, so he's only worth about 4.7 million to me. So yeah, I'm not sure. Sam, what are you thinking?
Mbeumo probably, sadly, which I really don't want to do. Like, I was really happy to have him when I brought him in last week and to hold him indefinitely was the plan, but probably going to end up going Mbeumo to Cole Palmer this week, which feels really boring, but
frees up money though.
Seems sensible, yeah.
Yeah, it does seem sensible. Jules?
I don't know. I might roll the transfer to have two free transfers the following game week. But I also really want a Chelsea defender because I think their fixtures are great. I think they could start to be a bit more solid as well.
Which one?
I don't know because I don't have much money. And my bench is so bad. It feels like I need another good option there. So I'll see what I can do. I don't want to take a minus four though. So I might just stay put and keep the players out.
Yeah, okay. It's difficult, isn't it? Sorry to the listeners who are expecting pearls of wisdom at this point, but when you still have those two matches still to go, anything could happen in those games for our teams, which then impact what we're thinking. So, yeah, we'll be back next week, though, with more clarity on our transfers, I'm sure, because the game week will be complete when we're recording. What we wanted to do, though, was just make sure we were getting it in your ears as quickly as possible so you had as much time to think about game week 16 and digest the pearls of wisdom that have been dropped throughout this podcast. But thank you for your company as always. Jules and Sam, thank you as well. If you want to join our FPL Pod Mini League, the code is IB3WLK. Don't forget, it's the first time we've mentioned it on the pod, but it's a Saturday morning deadline of 11 a.m, which is 90 minutes ahead of Crystal Palace against Liverpool. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday with Az. I'll be in the studio with him. Off the Bench is back on Monday with Gianni and Praz. And please rate and review the podcast. If you're enjoying it, let us know. It's always good to hear. We'll see you on the next one. Good luck. Take care. Bye-bye.